to protect. Brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commissioning the Man with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Solar energy is the focus of today's Ours to Protect. ESB Networks says it is the fastest growing source of renewable energy in Ireland. Conal Bulger, CEO of the Irish Wind Solar Energy Association, says there are around 1 million suitable rooftops in Ireland for solar panels.
In 2022, customers were able to start selling electricity back to the grid from panels on the rooftop. And at one point, we had something like 700 homes a week registering new systems. And also in 2022, we saw large-scale projects starting to connect to the grid, the first one in Wicklow. But now we're over 600 megawatts of projects. And really, what that kind of means is that at the end of this year, the end of 2023, we found ourselves in the place that the industry was at a, if you forgive the number, the 1 gigawatt threshold, or we connect enough projects that we could generate power sufficient to meet the needs of 375,000 homes. It's really unprecedented what's happening in solar in Ireland in terms of our energy industry. We've never really seen something like this. And it just kind of comes back to the basics that even in grey, rainy old Ireland, we've useful daylight falling on the fields and rooftops around the country from which we can make electricity. And we're kind of really taking that step forward towards a system where we're going to have a lot of our electricity generated from wind and solar. They work well together. It tends to be windy when it's not sunny. It tends to be sunny when it's not windy. And so if you layer them over each other, you start getting closer to that 100% renewable system, which is really the direction of travel for Ireland.
Around 80,000 homes across the country are now using solar panels.
What we've really seen is that people are responding to a set of incentives and changes that mean we've got something like 80,000 homes now connected with solar. You're talking basically the equivalent of a power station in terms of what they're capable of generating. And it, you know, there's rarely been a better time for it. In just the last few years, we've seen the introduction of a grant. There's the bill savings, which are always there, you know, from generating your own electricity. But now people can sell back what they don't need to the electricity. The planning restrictions were removed, and the supply and install of solar was rated zero for VAT. So really, the economics were made a lot better. I think people's concern over climate change, the high energy prices experienced as a result of Ukraine, concerns about how secure our energy was arising from that situation, really meant that a lot of people took the plunge. And there's real potential out there. According to UCC, about 1 million homes in Ireland are suitable for hosting solar panels on their rooftop. And they actually went down to the county level. So your listeners may be interested to know that about 25% of the power in Westmeath could be met by rooftop solar, 33% in Offaly, and 35% in Laois. So it really can produce meaningful amounts of electricity and can actually impact on those dreaded energy bills. The reward at the individual level, and then there's probably the reward at the national level, really. So a kind of a straight point for all of us, when people are making their own electricity, they're saving money from not having to draw down power from the wider grid, and they can get paid for their excess. But if you go up the another level, when you add that into the effect of the larger solar farms, when what happens there is when the sun shines, they're actually helping to push down the overall cost of electricity, because essentially the fuel is free. Now, what's also happening in both cases, both with your rooftop solar and your larger scale solar farms, is you're helping decarbonize the electricity supply. Ultimately, the electricity that's being made is electricity that's not being made from burning dead dinosaurs in the power station. So you're helping in the battle against climate change. And at that kind of macro level, if we're meeting more of our demand ourselves from solar we're generating, whether it is on larger scale solar farms or in people's homes, you're increasing our level of energy independence. You know, you're reducing the level of dependence on importing fossil fuels. It's called security supply in the industry jargon. But what that means has been really reinforced, I think, for all of us by what's happened with Ukraine. The realization that these energy chains that we thought were reliable are not so reliable. And it's incumbent on Ireland, Inc., to look at progressing this agenda as fast as possible, because it means ultimately that people will pay less for their electricity, the electricity they use will be cleaner, and their overall energy security will be better.
Mr. Bulger says those in the farming sector could make an income from solar energy.
So the interesting thing about the climate debate and agriculture has been quite how fractious it's gotten in the last few years. And farmers are often painted as villains in the climate discourse. And solar is really something that allows the bridging of the gap. There's kind of two broad models. Farmers can look at leasing land for solar panels, and they can also look at hosting panels on their farm buildings and their homes as well. The larger scale solar farms provide additional revenues for farms in many cases, which are looking for, you know, to diversify their income sources to try and maintain their agriculture activity as a kind of going concern. What's one of the nice benefits there is that really, in addition to offering those incomes, the land itself still remains suitable for grazing sheep and certain crops in amongst the panels. In fact, we're seeing the growth of an industry in Europe called AgriSolar, which is looking at using land for both panels and growing food and other agricultural models. And what's kind of zooming up at that helicopter level, to meet our climate targets, you're probably talking something in the order of 25,000 acres under lease. That's leased, not what's under panels. That might sound like a lot, but it's equivalent to about 1/5 of 1% of all agricultural land, so 0.2%, or about half of what we have under golf courses. Now, if we zoom back down to the farm level, what's also an option for many farmers is looking at panels on their homes or on the farm buildings. So there are a range of supports available. They're not perfect, and we would like to see some improvements made. But for many farms around the country, they've been the spur to get them moving. Because ultimately, a lot of farms, the energy bill is a big input cost. So anything they can do to help with that is definitely worth considering. And solar has been an option for many farmers around the country.
Sullis Eco Garden Centre in Port Arrington is one of the businesses in the region which is using solar panels. Co-owner and environmentalist David Morris says the electricity bills for their outdoor courtyard rose from 16,000 in 2021 to 32,000 in 2022. He recommends considering the investment despite the initial costs involved.
In relation to the cost price on that, the payback period for us making that investment, when we initially drew up the figures, it was a 6-year payback period. But because of the skyrocketing price of fossil fuels and electricity, it's now just over 4-year payback period on it.
You can find out more information on solar energy on IrisToProtect.ie, and there's a fact sheet on Midlands103.com.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commissioning the Man with a television licence fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more information.